Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Pesachim daf Nun. We left off on daf Mem Tes Amid Beis. We are at V'chein Mi Sheyata at the two dots, about 7 lines from the end of the page. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It is also sponsored. Just a moment. It's also sponsored by the outdoor minyan in Woodmere, known as the Church Avenue Minyan L'Zchusro for Shlema, for our friends, neighbors, and members, Yuli Sternfeld, Yehuda Aryeh Rafael Benita, who's currently in the ICU fighting COVID, and Moshe Schwartz, Moshe Yitzchak Ben Tova Rosa, who's also in the ICU, and Fega Peril, Bas Tavar Rivka, the Shavu for Shlema, Besok Shar Chal Yisrael. It's also sponsored by the Pesachim Boys, a Chavrus of three Talmidim from BMT, who continue their decades-long quest to complete and conquer Mesachas Pesachim, and it's also sponsored by Judy and Mitchell Spiro, the children and grandchildren in honor of the 10th yahrzeit of Mitchell's father, Menachem Mendel Ben Dov Halevi, Alav Hashalom, whose yahrzeit is today. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding again at the two dots on Daf Mem Tes and Beis. And what the Gemara is going to discuss today is several issues. First of all, we're going to finish up the discussion about a kezayis and a kebet. So what exactly is the shear that a person is allowed to, is obligated to go back to burn a shear of chametz, or the shear of kachim? How much does a person have to go back to burn? So we're going to discuss why it is that each shita in the Mishnah says what they say, and then the parak is going to end with three different drashos from Pesukim and Sefer Zechariah, the first of which relates to the difference between this world and the next, the second that uses the imagery of a galloping horse to express the success of Klal Yisrael in some way, and the third pasuk that describes our recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Olam Abba. Then the fourth parak is going to begin with a discussion of doing malacha on Erev Pesach, and that we're going to relate that to Malach on Erev Shabbos and Malach on Erev Yom Tov, and that's going to lead into a discussion of doing mitzvos shelo lishma, and also in general discussion of activities that are not going to lead to anything positive. So let's begin again. Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, says the Gemara. The Mishnah told us v'chein mi sheyatza, that if someone is leaving Yerushalayim and realizes that he has Basar Kodesh with him, he should go back and burn it lefnei Abira me'atzei me'aracha. But we said ad kam. How much meat does he have to be required to go back and burn it? So Reb Meir said, both as far as the Basar Kodesh and as far as Chametz, it's Bekebetza. Whereas Reb Yehuda said, Zevezeb Kezayis, both as far as the meat and as far as the Chametz, the Shir is a Kezayis. And the Chachamim said, no, Basar Kodesh is Bekezayis, Chametz is Bekebetza. So says the Gemara, wait a second. Lememrad Reb Meir Savar Kebetza the Chashiv, Reb Yehuda Savar Kezayis, Nami Chashiv? Do you mean to tell me there are Meir is the one that holds that only kabetza is a shir chashuv, but anything less than that is not worthy of going back for? And Rabbi Yehuda is the one that holds that even a kezayis is chashuv? Or a mini, I'll ask you a stira, because we have a sugya maseches brachas and daf memhei. As far as the chiyuv of zimun is concerned, ad kamehein mezamnin, what's the shir that a person has to eat in order to be chayiv in zimun and to not be able to split off and make his own bracha, but to be chayiv in zimun, or maybe according to some rishonim means to be moti others in Zimun ad kezayis? You have to eat a kezayis. Rabbi Yehuda Omer and Stamish is Reb Meir. So the Stam Tana says ad kezayis. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ad kebetza. And Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says ad kebetza. So now we flip the sheetos over here, apparently, in terms of what's a shir chashuv. Is it a kezayis or a kebetza? So the Gemara gives two answers. Answer number one, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mukhafas Hashita. It's exactly correct. They made a mistake. The Tana that told us the Mishnah about Zimun made a mistake and confused the two shitos, but really Rabbi Meir is the one that holds that it's even if you eat up until a kebetza, that you're only chayiv in zimun if you eat a kebetza or more, and Rabbi Yehuda is the one that holds that you're only chayiv in zimun, you're even chayiv in zimun if you ate just a kezayis. So what we had is correct. We have an hour Mishnah is correct, and the Mishnah Maseches Brachos has to be flipped. Abaye Yomer Li Olam Lo Tepuch. Abaye says no, these are two totally different issues. So it's not just about what's a shir chashuv. These are different halachos. Basar Kodesh is one halacha, and Zimun is another halacha, and therefore it makes sense that they're not going to say the same thing. Hasam b'krayi pligi, when it comes to the din of Zimun, they're arguing about how to learn a pasuk. Pasuk says, v'achalta v'savata v'rachta Hashem Elokecha al ha'aretz hatova asher nasan lach. So, and hacha b'svara pligi, and over here they're arguing about a svara. So, hasam b'krayi pligi, when it comes to Zimun, they're arguing how to darshan the pasuk. Remeir savar v'achalta zu'achila. v'savata zushtia, that the word v'savata comes to tell me that if a person eats and drinks, then he's chayiv in birchas hamazon. Okay, so what is eating? Va'achila b'kazayis. The word achila always means, in kala torah kula, a kazayis. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, v'savata does not come to tell me that in addition to eating, a person also drinks. V'savata comes to tell me more eating, a higher level of eating. V'achalta v'savata achila sheyesh basviya, not the bare minimal achila, which is b'kazayis. No, an achila that has sviya, v'ezuz of kebetza. And what is an achila that has sviya? That's a kebetza. So that's as far as the machlokas about zimun. V'hacha b'svara pligi. But over here in our Mishnah, about going back to burn the basar kodesh in Yerushalayim, they're arguing about a svara, d'raber savar chasaraso, ketumaso, that it's mistavra, that the shear you have to go back for is the same shear as the shear of tumas ochlim. Ma tumaso b'kabetza, av chasaraso b'kabetza. Just like the din of tumas ochlim is b'kabetza, so the halacha they have to go back is also b'kabetza. And as we always mention, whenever we mention this din of tumas ochlim, machlokas, Rashi and Tosos, what that means, that tumas ochlim is b'kabetza. Rashi says that ochel is mekabel tuma b'kol shu, but cannot transmit tuma unless it's a kabetza. And Tosos says, no, it cannot even be mekabel tuma until it's a kabetza. But either way, in the world of tuma, the shir kabetza is a chashva shir, and therefore, as far as going back to burn basar kodesh, we're also going to go with the shir kabetza. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Savar, chazaraso ki isuro, the shir to go back for is the same shir of the isra achila of chametz or basar kodesh that goes outside of Yerushalayim, ma isuro b'kazayis, have chazaraso b'kazayis. Just like the isra achila of such chametz or such meat is a shir kazayis, so too the chazaraso going back to burn it is also a shir kazayis. Tanya, Rabbi Nassi Omer, zev zeh kishtei beitzim. Rabbi Nassi says in a different shita that both by shir chametz and basar kodesh, as far as going back, you have to have shnei beitzim in order to go back for it. But the chachamim did not agree with it. So the Gemara doesn't explain where he got that idea of shtei beitzim, but the Chacham did not agree with it. So now the Rashi explains the next piece of Gemara, the relevance of the next piece of Gemara, which seems totally unrelated to our entire Masechta, is that once we spoke about Yerushalayim in the Mishnah, someone's leaving Yerushalayim and he has this Basar Kodesh, and what do you have to go back? So the Gemara is going to bring a number of drashas about Psukim, from Psukim and Sefer Zechariah, where we mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately broadening the borders of Yerushalayim. So once we're on the topic of Yerushalayim, we're going to talk about the expansion of Yerushalayim. That's how Rashi understands the connection over here. Rabbeinu Chananel understands the connection to the following Gemara a little differently, that since the Mishnah had mentioned that if a person didn't pass Tzofim yet, so then he should be chozer, he should go back to Yerushalayim. It sounds like up until Tzofim is still on some level considered as if you're still in Yerushalayim. But wait, you're not in Yerushalayim when you're in Tzofim. Elamai, you see that there's this inyan that Yerushalayim could be expanded, that at a certain point the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to expand the borders of Yerushalayim. So that's what brings us to the following. So we're going to have three psukim in the Navi Zechariah that we're going to darshan. Vaya Bayom, first pasuk, Vaya Bayom Ahu, on the day that Gog comes to Yerushalayim, the Melchamas Gog Magog, lo ya or yukaros v'kifa'un. So my yukaros v'kifa'un. What is kifa'us yukaros v'kifa'un? So I'm Rabbi Lazar, ze or sheyakar b'al mazeh v'kafu l'al maba. It's talking about the light of the sun, which is so precious in this world, but in olam haba is going to be like nothing because the or that we're going to have in olam haba, that's gonos l'tzadikim for olam haba, is such an or gadol, such a larger light, that it's going to make the or of the sun look like it's nothing. So on the day Gog comes Yerushalayim, there's not going to be, the Arachama is not going to be yakar in the world. It's not going to be something that's precious because it's going to be dwarfed by the Ar of Olam Haba, which is a much, much greater light. The Rabbi Yochanan Amar, no, Elu Nugam Va'alos, it's a reference to certain areas of Torah that are very hard to learn. Sheikarnein Bolam Hazeh, find some experts in Nugam Va'alos. Very difficult Masechtas, not so many people know it very well. Ukfuin Olam Haba, but it's going to be like Kfuinein Olam Haba, it's going to be like nothing in Olam Haba. People are going to know it very well. And Rabbi Yishub and Levi Amar, a third possibility, Elu B'nei Adam, Sheikarnein Bolam Hazeh, Kfuinein Olam Haba, that there are certain people that are very respected in this world, and in the next world, they're going to be like nothing. They're going to be very not going to be taken so seriously. Ki had Rav Yosef, braid Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, just like the Maisa happened with Rav Yosef, the son of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, chalish v'snagin, he got sick and he was in a coma or something. So Kiyadar, when he came to Amalei Avua, his father said to him, "My chazis, what did you see? You sort of, his neshama was sort of being pareach between the two worlds. So what did you see in the Olam Emes?" So Amalei, "Olam hafuch re'isi, I saw an upside down world. Elyonim lamata v'tachtonim lamala. Those who are most respected over here are least respected over there. Those who are least respected over here are most respected over there. Amalei b'ni, olam baru re'isa. What you saw is a world of clarity. That's in fact the Emes." And then Rabbi Shimon Levi says, "I know you're talking about people of political power, of wealth, of influence, but what about Talmidei Chachamim? How are Talmidei Chachamim treated there?" So this relates to Yasei Zafal about Talmidei Chachamim and Amei Aretz. How are Talmidei Chachamim doing in the Olam Emes? That just like Talmidei Chachamim are respected in this world, Talmidei Chachamim are respected in the next world as well. That cover, the cover for Talmidei Chachamim, is something that that continues in the next world, because that's something that's of true value to be a Talmud Chacham. Someone sent me a Maisa that Rav Avadya Yosef writes in Anafei Tzavos, his commentary in Pirkei Avos, related to yesterday's daf, to Loli Miasi Adam Bas Talmud Chacham, not to be Masi Bas Amaretz, and Yasi Bito the Talmud Chacham, and not to an Amaretz, that when the Chasam Sofer wanted to get married to Rabbi Akiva Eger's daughter, so I think it was his second wife. I think Chasam Sofer had three wives. I think one after the other died, but I think the second wife was Rabbi Akiva Eger's daughter, so the Chasam Sofer wrote a letter to Rabbi Akiva Eger. They were only 2 years apart from each other in age. They wrote tshuvas back and forth all the time. So he wrote a letter to Rabbi Akiva Eger asking about his daughter. He had to check out the shidduch. So who would know her better than her father? So he asked Rabbi Akiva Eger, "Tell me about your daughter." And Rabbi Akiva Eger wrote back, "Oh, my daughter is a tzaddikah. She's a Yirei Shemayim. She's unbelievable. But I have to tell you, because I know you're someone who's makbar on halacha, that the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim that you're supposed to try to marry a bas talmud chacham, but I'm far from a talmud chacham, and therefore you're not going to be able to be to fulfill that chiv." And the Chasam Sofer wrote back, "Ayvei, you're supposed to marry your daughter off to someone who's a talmud chacham." And so the Shadchan had to work on both of them very hard to say, "No, it's okay, you can marry." So he ended up marrying the bas Rabbi Akiva Eger. So v'shamati shayu omrim asher mishabalakan v'talmudu biyado. And I heard that they were saying in the Olam HaEmes that fortunate is someone who comes here v'talmudo biyado. So what does that mean, v'talmudo biyado? So Pasha Pshara means that he knows his learning, that he's holding learning, that if you ask him, "Nu, what are you learning?" he can not only name the Masechta, he can actually tell you something of what it says inside that Masechta, that he knows what it says. So the Marsha, however, adds a different level of interpretation. Talmudo biyado, it doesn't say talmudo bepiv, that like v'shinantam shei dvar mechudadim beficha, that you should be able to say it very quickly. No, talmudo biyado means that a person writes Divrei Torah, that if he comes up with a Chiddush in Torah, he should write it down. And that's Ashri Mishabalakan V'Tamlud HaBiyado, someone who writes their Divrei Torah. And the Shevet Musar, he says that any time a person has a small Chiddush, he should take a moment to write it down. And it will be L'man Yamod Yamim Rabim Shlo Yishkecheu, that it will be for him for many days, he's not going to forget such a thing. And he said that he saw in a certain Sefer that a person doesn't write his Chiddush Torah because he views himself as a katan and not worthy of writing Chiddush Torah, he's going to be also detained din v'cheshmer on such a thing, because asher mishabalakan v'talmud biyado, that this is what a person is supposed to do. In the Kava Yashar, he writes a remez from the statement in Pirkei Avos, in the first paragraph of Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Shurim Prachya says kinei l'cha chaver. So he says it's a remez on the kulmus, a quill. A kana is a quill, that yehei l'cha chaver, that your kana should be l'cha chaver. It should be a chaver to you. It should be something that you're acquainted with, because you should always be writing Divrei Torah. In the Sefer Birchas Avram, which is a Talmud of the Bechach, of Avram Davni Bechach, the Eshel Avram Yibachach, whose Chidushim are printed in the back of the Shulchan Aruch, he says that the Bechach used to always have concern that once he came to Bechach, he didn't have any Chaverim, he didn't have any Talmidim, and he was worried about what the Gemara tells us in Maseches Tainis, Cherev al Abadim, Cherev al Sanein Shal Tamil Chum, Shosim Bad Bivad B'Torah, that the experience of Talmud Torah is not supposed to be done alone. It's supposed to be done with chavrusas. It's supposed to be done with talmidim. People are supposed to be mechaded each other. They're supposed to be give and take. And lo odel shematapshin, v'lo odel shachotin. That it leads to terrible things if a person doesn't have that kind of communal experience of Talmud Torah. And then he found in the Shla Kadosh, which is really in the Kava Yashar, that ukenei l'chaver, that your kana could be your chaver, and that you're not considered to be learning alone if you have the chaver of having a pen a quill to write your Chidushei Torah, and then made the Pachacher happy. And look what he did. I mean, he produced the Eshel Avrami Pachacher, one of the prime commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. It's quoted by everybody. It's quoted on every page of Mishnah Berurah. And that came about because he needed a chaver. He needed someone to learn with. V'shamati shayu omrim haruge malchus einod miyachlan mechitzasin. Says, oh, by the way, I also heard in the Olam HaMes that they were saying that those who are haruge malchus, they're on such a madrega, no one could even be allowed in their mechitza. So maninu, which kind of haruge malchus? Ilim Rabbi Akiva chaverav. If we're talking about Rabbi Akiva and the other asara haruge malchus who died al kiddush Hashem, well, mishum haruge malchus is too low. Rabbi Akiva gets a prime spot in the Olam HaMes only because he was haruge malchus. He was Rabbi Akiva. How about everything else that he? Not only did he die al kiddush Hashem, he lived al kiddush Hashem. So I would think that for his life he would be rewarded with a prime spot in the Olam HaMes. No, Ella Haruge Lud. We're talking about the Haruge Lud, and Rashi fills in the blanks over here that there were two people named Lulinus Upapus. They were brothers that were killed by Turianus Harasha in Lud, because a Bas Melech was found murdered, and they didn't know who had murdered her, and because of that they made a gezerah to destroy all of Klal Yisrael. So these brothers stepped up, and they were makabel that they themselves should get killed in her place, and they in fact were killed. That's the version that Rashi quotes. There's Yerushalmi in 3rd Parak of Sanhedrin that says that they were killed because they refused to drink water from a colored kli zechuchis, that apparently used to be a minig Yisrael to drink with to not drink with colored kli zechuchis, because they only avelim would drink in such kalim, and the government was trying to be oker a minig Yisrael, and the halacha is that b'shas hashmad, if they're trying to change our minagim, even if it's just a minig kali, even if it's just the color of our shoes, the Gemara says in Maseches Sanhedrin, everything becomes yaharig val yavar, and they were willing to be nerag over such a thing. But those are the two versions of the story, of whether it's like Rashi says, or whether it's like the Yerushalmi says. What Rashi says is a little bit difficult to understand, meaning are they allowed to? The community, other people are going to get killed, the community is being threatened, so they didn't do it, they were innocent, they didn't kill this girl, but they stood up to get to confess so that they would take it for, they would take the heat for the entire community. Are you allowed to be Mosratzma Lahariga for everybody else? So there's a tshuva, there are a number of tshuvas that talk about whether a person's allowed to put themselves in sakana to save somebody else. In the 1960s, there were a lot of tshuvas written on this topic, because that's when kidney donation became something that the medical community started to do. But at that time, it was considered to be a serious sakana to donate a kidney, because they didn't know how to test it properly. So they sort of, they didn't know how to test if it was really a match. So it was a lower chance of success for the recipient, and also they didn't do the 1-inch incision laparoscopic, they just cut the whole person open and did, it was like a major thing. So it was a greater sakana for the donor and less of a chance of success for the recipient. So the shaila was, are you allowed to do it? So that's where all the posts can discuss whether you're allowed to put yourself in sakana in order to save somebody else's life. Already by the 1980s, and certainly by now, the posts have already changed the whole tune in terms of the analysis of that particular shaila, because the mitzvah has changed. The chances of success for the recipient are way higher, and the chances of sakana for the donor are minuscule, so the equation changes. But in those discussions, they quote this as a raya, that the Linus and Peoples, why were they allowed to do this if you're not allowed to put yourself in sakana? Because this is an old discussion that you find in Tav Chavav and Chosh Mishpah, whether you're allowed to put yourself in sakana to save somebody else, and many Rishonim say no. So they suggest that maybe for Hatzalas Klal Yisrael is different, because they were gozer against Lahashmid Kol Yisrael. So for Hatzalas HaKlal, maybe one is allowed to put themselves in sakana, but for an individual, even if that individual may be a greater Talmud Chacham than you, or you view their life as being more worthy than yours, or whatever, still you're not allowed to put yourself in sakana for such a person. So anyway, so that is the story with Linus and Pipus, and the things that were heard from the Olam HaEmes. Now the second pasuk in the Navi Zechariah that we're going to darshan. Bayomahu yiel metzilus hasus kodesh la Hashem. Something to do with the galloping of a horse, there's going to be kodesh la Hashem. So my Atzilus Asus, what's this talking about? Amir Shabbat Levi, Asr Kodesh Baruch Hu Lahosev Al Yerushalayim, Atshasus Ratz Umatzil, that Hashem is going to add so much space to Yerushalayim that the distance a horse can cover if it gallops up until its shadow is directly under its body, that's what it means, Matzil, that it's able to cover the area directly under its body by protecting it from the sun, because the sun is directly overhead. That's how big Yerushalayim is going to be, that a horse can gallop till Chatzos Hayom, till halfway through the day when the sun is directly overhead, and it's going to and it's, he's still going to be in Yerushalayim. That's the Metzilas Hasus. The Achron Rabbah, just what's the benefit of that? So Yerushalayim is bigger. Who needs a bigger Yerushalayim? Why does Yerushalayim have to be bigger? So the Marsha writes Pashut Pshat, because there are certain things you can only do in Yerushalayim, like eating Kachim Kalim can only be done in Yerushalayim, eating Maisa Sheni should only be done in Yerushalayim. So all of that's going to be considered B'socha Chamos. All that area is now going to be considered within the walls of Yerushalayim, and you're going to be allowed to eat these holy things in that entire area. Chassam Sofer says, but no one ever lacked for space in Yerushalayim. Mishnah Pirkei Avos, that Me'olam Lo Amar Adam Yerushalayim Tzar Li Amakom, meaning that was one of the miracles of Yerushalayim, that no matter how many people came, it always felt like there was plenty of room for everybody. So why do I really need an expansion of Yerushalayim? So the Chassam Sofer explains, you're right, practically we don't need it, but symbolically, that the capital city of the Jewish people should look like a chash of a city. So if on the map, it's like, oh, where is it? You can't even, it's a tiny little speck. So that doesn't look chashiv. So to give it that sense of chashivus, that's why is that Yerushalayim is going to have to be broadened. Rabbi Lazar Amar, a different pshat. Kol metzilos shetol nasus beinav ye kodesh l'Hashem. All of the decorations that they would hang on a horse, made out of gold and silver and all these precious metals, they're instead just going to be mekadesh. They're going to give to the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, kol biza shebozes in Yisrael ad shah shasus ratzum matzil ye kodesh l'Hashem. All of the spoils that people are going to take until Chatzos Hayom, you know, the time that a horse is matzil, with a shadow directly underneath itself, is going to be kodesh l'Hashem. So it says, so we have three pshatim, what it means that the galloping of the horse, either the expansion of the city, the donation of the decorations on the horse, or the biza, the spoils that we get that are going to be given to the Beis HaMikdash. So Bishlam, called biza shabaz Yisrael, haynu d'chsev, that makes sense with the other part of the pasuk, v'haya hasiros beveis Hashem kamizrakim lefnei hamizbeach, that even the forks that they use to take out the deshen, or the shovels that they use to remove the deshen and for the cooking of the zvachim, are going to be made out of gold and silver, just like the mizrakim, because we're going to have so much money, the Beis HaMikdash is going to have so much money that even the minor kalim that aren't even that important are going to be made out of gold and silver. So that fits very well if you say that all of the biza, all of the spoils that we're going to take, that we're going to donate to the Beis HaMikdash, but if you're going to say like Rabbi Shmuel Levi and like Rabbi Lazar, that said that it's about expansion of Yerushalayim, or that it's about the decorations on the horse, what are we talking about the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash being made out of fancy stuff? So it says, now it's a separate bracha that the Jewish people are going to be so wealthy that they're going to be able to donate so much to the Beis HaMikdash. I understand very well if we're talking about the spoils. That's why it says there's not going to be a Kanani anymore. Kanani means a socher, means a merchant. But if you say like Rabbi Shmuel Levi or Blazer that explain otherwise, we're not talking about any great ashirus that is going to be donated to the Mikdash. So Rabbi Yirmiyah, ein kan ani. Lo ye kanani means that in those days there's not going to be any anius be Israel. It's a nutrikun of kan ani that kanani means. It doesn't mean a merchant. O kanani minalim dikri tagar. Where do we ever find that the word kanani means a merchant? Dechsev, because the pasuk says in Bereishis, vayerusham Yehuda bas ish kanani, that Yehuda saw a bas ish kanani, and her name was Shua, and he took her. So my kanani, what does it mean? A bas ish kanani. Ilem a kanani mamsh. You think Yehuda married a kanani woman? Efshar ba Avram vizir Yitzchak. Avram had one request of Yitzchak. Do not take a kanani woman. He made aliyah Eliezer swear, Lo sikach isha libni mibnos Kanan. Uba Yitzchak viziris Yaakov. And Yitzchak told Yaakov, Lo sikach isha mibnos Kanan. The Yehuda azil v'nasav, then Yehuda goes and marries a Kanani. Ela amr b'shem Malach, no, must be Bas Gavra Tagra. That it was a woman whose father was a merchant. Tichsiv, Kanan, biyada, mozne mirma. That when the Pasuk says in Hosea, Kanan, it means that the merchants that have mozne mirma, that have scales that cheat people, so that are not interested in chesed and mishpat. That's what Hosea is talking about. But merchants, that's what the word means. Yibay se mehacho, or it could be that we could bring a raya from the pasuk about the destruction of the city of Tsur. The pasuk says that miyad zos al tsora matira asher sochareha sarim kenaneha nichbade aretz. So you see, Kanani is the lashon of socher, that their sochrim are nichbade aretz. So then we go, now we move on to the third pasuk in the Navi Zechariah, and now we're going to interpret. That in one day lasad lavo Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to be echad and Shmo is going to be echad. Atua idna lav echadu. What? And bizman hazeh, Hashem is not echad. We say every single day in Kriya Shema, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkeinu, Hashem echad. So how can you say that Hashem is not echad right now? Samra bach brachanina lo kolam hazeh ha'olam haba. Olam hazeh and olam haba are entirely different from each other. Olam hazeh al besuras tov al baruch hatov ha'meitiv al besuras ro al baruch dayin ha'emes. In olam hazeh, for good news we say baruch hatov ha'meitiv, and for bad news we say baruch dayin ha'emes. In olam haba, kulo hatov ha'meitiv. There's not going to be any such thing as a basura ra in olam haba, and that's why the pasuk says that lasa lava Hashem is going to be echad, that there's going to be only one bracha that we're mevarich Hashem with. It's all hatov ha'meitiv. And then we say shemo echad. What does that mean? My echad atu in alav shemo echadu. What bizman hazeh is? Do we not have shemo echad? So Tos Rabbeinu Peretz quotes from the Eben Ezra before, without the Gemara's teretz, that maybe it means that af bizman hazeh, even though bizman hazeh shemo echad, but if you say that but according to the Umos Ha'olam, there's no Shmo Echad Lasalavo, even the Umos Ha'olam are going to be moda to it. So it's from an Umos Ha'olam perspective that of course it's Shmo Echad, but the Umos Ha'olam don't seem to recognize that. And Olam Abba, they will, but the Gemara gives a little bit of a different answer. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak lo kol mazel mabba. Hol mazel nichtav beyud hey v'nikra ba'alev dalet. The way that we spell the Shem Hashem, the Shem Havaya, and the way that we pronounce it are different than Olam Hazeh. Aval Olam Abba, kulo echad nikra b'yud hey v'nichta b'yud hey, it's going to be written and read the same way, and that's what it means. Lasa lavo shemo echad, that his name is going to be consistent in the way that it's written and the way that it's pronounced. Sava Rava l'midrash pirka. Rava wanted a darshin on Shabbos in the public shir, the drashos of the psukim relating to the shame of Hashem. So Amar lei hahu saba. A certain elderly person said to him. Some say that whenever it says hahu saba, it means aliyo anavi from the sugi in Shabbos taf lamed. It doesn't sound that way, Tosfos points out. But so some Ahu Saba said to him that Liolam Ksiv. It says Zeshmi Liolam, but without a vav. So it's Ki'ilu, it's written that La'alem, to hide, that it should be something secretive. It's Lashon of Ha'alama, that you shouldn't go darshaning about the Shemos Hashem Bitzibur. So don't make a public shir about it. Rabbi Avina Rami. Rabbi Avina asked the following stira. Ksiv Zeshmi Liolam. So it's a Lashon of Ha'alama, because it's Liolam without the vav. But then it says Zezichri L'dardar, that you should always call it that way. So it's a stira. So Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, lo kishani nichtav ani nikra, that the same way I'm written is not the way that I'm pronounced. Nichtav ani biyud hei, v'nikra ani ba'alef dalas, that I am written with, the Shem Hashem is written with yudke vavke, but it's read as alef dalet nun yud. So that's what the Shem Adnus is, ze zichri l'dor v'dor, even though ze shemi li'olam, the Shem that is la'aleim, is the yudke vavke, Shem Hashem. Hadron alach elu over, now we begin from the fourth parak of Maseches Pesachim. So what we're going to discuss is places that have a minug not to do malacha before Chatzos and Erev Pesach. After Chatzos, we're going to see soon, it's a halacha, but a minug not to do malacha before Chatzos and Erev Pesach, and when you are bound by that place's minug. If you come from that place, you go to that place, and then we're going to have several mishnayos about other minhagim, and when a yachid is chayiv to be noheg based on what people around him are being noheg. break, and then we're going to go back to the dinim of malacha on Arvei Pesachim until Chatzos. So Malkam Shnagu Lasos Malacha Arvei Pesachim Al Chatzos. Place for the minhag is that you do malacha on Arvei Pesach Ad Chatzos. Olsin, so it's mutter to do such malacha. Malkam Shnagu Shalol Lasos Ein Olsin. If the minhag is not to do malacha on Arvei Pesach Ad Chatzos, so then you don't do malacha on Arvei Pesach Ad Chatzos. Rashi explains the reason not to do malacha is because if a person is tarred b'malach, so he's going to forget to be mevar his chabetz, he's going to forget to shach this carbon pesach and to prepare matzah. There's a lot to do on Erev Pesach, and all these things you need to be mechin mibod yom, because if you don't prepare these things mibod yom, so then the seder is going to run too late. If the seder runs late, the kids are going to fall asleep, you're not going to finish the afikomen before chatzos. Now all of those things it's not going to be right, so a person has to try to make it happen. So you got to do all these things on Erev Pesach, so you can't be distracted with other things on Erev Pesach. Ha'holich m'makom shalos and the makom shenos. If a person goes from a place where they do malach on Erev Pesach to a place where they don't do malach on Erev Pesach, ha'holich m'makom shenos and the makom shalos, or vice versa, nosno of chumri makom sheyot misham and chumri makom shalach l'sham. He has to take on the chumrus of both makomos, meaning that he cannot do malacha. Va'al yishana adam mipnei machlokas. And a person shouldn't do different than the minhag makom because of machlokas. The Gemara is going to ask, what do you mean? Even someone who goes from makom she'enosim to makom she'osim should not be mishanim in pnei machlokas. I thought we just said that he should be, that he should take the chumra of the place that he went from. So that's going to be in tomorrow's daf. We're going to discuss what exactly that means. And another halacha, the Mishnah tells us kayotze bo, similar to what we said about going from one makom to another makom in erev Pesach to observe the chumras of both places. We also find hamolch peru shviyas mi makom shekalu the makom shelokalu. If a person is taking shemitah produce from a place where it's no longer available to the chayav basada, and therefore the chiyuv biur kicks in, the halacha of biur of the shemitah produce kicks in when it's no longer available out in the field. So let's say I take produce that is from a place where it should be chayav in biur to a place where it's still available out in the field, so it's not chayav in biur. Or the opposite, makam shelo kalu lemakam shekalu, where I take from a place where it should be mutar, I should not have to be mevayrit, to a place where it's not available out anymore. So then chayav levayir, you have to take the chumra of each place and you have to be mevayir that produce. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that the person who's bringing it can say, Tseva Avelucha Afata, he could say, look, if I'm bringing this produce from somewhere else, so you tell me I'm not allowed to have it here because it's called L'chayim and Asada? Not where I'm coming from, go where I came from and you'll see that it's not called L'chayim and Asada. Or the opposite, I'm bringing it to a place that it's not called L'chayim and Asada, so anyone could bring from where I am now, anyone could bring from the field, so I should not be Chayiv in Biur. So he goes L'kula in both directions. So now says Gemara, back to the discussion on Erev Pesach. Why do we talk about this minug of not doing a malacha on Erev Pesach Ad Chatzos? Meaning the idea is that if it's Tully and Minug up until Chatzos, what you're telling me is that on Erev Pesach there's a special din that after Chatzos it's Aser, that after Chatzos it's not Tully and Minug. Well, that's not only true about Erev Pesach, even Arvi Shabbos and Arvi Yom Tovim also, you shouldn't do malacha after Chatzos. Titanya, because the Brisa tells us, also malacha Arvi Shabbos Yom Tovim, that a person doesn't see a simin bracha by staying in the office late and just cutting it like so close to Shabbos, by when he gets home a minute before Shabbos, you're not going to see it's not an issur malacha like doing malacha on Shabbos where you have skila or something like that. It's just a kind of an issur malacha in the sense that you're not going to see any simin bracha from that malacha. So it says Mara Hasa min a mincha lemailu dasa samuch mincha lo hacha mechatzos. First answer is no big difference between erev Pesach and erev Shabbos and Yontif. Erev Shabbos and Yontif, it's about min a mincha lemaila. On erev Pesach after Chatzos, it's already problematic. Inami, a second answer, Hasam Simon Brachu de Lachazi, Aval Shemutu Lam Shamtin Alei. When it comes to Arvi Shabbos and Arvi Yom Tovim, he may not see a Simon Brachu, but we're not going to put him in Cherem over it. Hacha Shemutu Nami Shamtin Alei, but over here we're Menada the person. We put the person in some sort of Cherem for violating this Isser Chomer Midrabanan. So since it's a different level of severity, that's why we single out Malacha on erev Pesach, Dafka Acher Chatzos. There is a discussion why it is that there's a Isser Malacha Acher Chatzos and Erev Pesach. Mishabura writes in the name of Poskim, in the Mishabura writes where the Shulchan Aruch quotes this in Siman Tav Samaches. Shulchan Aruch says you're not supposed to do Malacha after Chatzos and Mishamtim also, we put him in a Cherim. So Mishmur writes, because that's the time that you were supposed to be Makriv your Karban Pesach when the Beis HaMikdash was around, and the day they were Makriv the Karban Pesach was a Yom Tov. So Afilu Bizman Hazeh, the Yom Tov has been Makoma Omeid, even though we're not being Makriv a Karban Pesach anymore. The Poskim, however, give other reasons as well. The Bir Halacha quotes from Rashi that, what we said before, that you have to do Bir Chametz, you have to prepare for the Seder, not about the Yom Tov of being Makriv a Karban Pesach, but just practically, you have to get things in order. And they also quote based on that the Etzema Yom of Erev Pesach is a Yom Tov in its own right, because the Pesach says, Eilu Ma'adei Hashem Akrai Kodesh, and it talks about B'chodesh Arishon Bar Ba'asr L'chodesh. So you see that our Ba'asr itself, Pnei Yeshua writes, that our Ba'asr itself is a Yom Tov. Is there a Nafkamina between these different reasons? So the Achronim point out, Nafkamina might be what happens in Erev Pesach is Chal B'Shabbos. According to the first reason, you should be allowed to do malacha on Erev Shabbos, because they were not makriv the Karban Pesach in the Beis HaMikdash. It was brought on Shabbos itself, which is Erev Pesach, and it's also the Yud Gimel Nisan is not called the Yom Tov, because it's not Yud Dalit, but it could be that you do have to do all your preparations on Erev Shabbos, like we mentioned yesterday. You do have to do all your preparations in Erev Shabbos. So if the real reason is what Rashi says over here about doing the preparations, then even on Yud Gimel, when Erev Pesach is called on Shabbos, so that might be enough Gemina between the different reasons for why one doesn't do malacha on Erev Pesach Acher Chatzos. Okay, Gufa. So, ha'osim malacha b'arvi Shabbos v'arvi Yom Tovim min ha'mincha l'mayla. If a person does malacha on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, min ha'mincha l'mayla, or b'motzai Shabbos. A person does malacha on motzai Shabbos, u'b'motzai Yom Tov, u'b'motzai Yom HaKippurim, u'b'kal malachim sheyesh sham nidnu l'aveira. Anytime there's any hint to an aveira, la'asuye tainas tibur, and that comes to include doing malacha on a tainas tibur, he's never going to see a sim bracha from such work. So Rashi writes, what about what's Motzai Shabbos? Can't the malacha Motzai Shabbos? He says, yeah, Tosefa Shabbos. You have to be Mosef, Mechal Al HaKodesh. So it's an Isra Malacha. It's still a din of Malacha Shabbos. So Briska Rav points out in his Chidushim on the Rambam in the 29th Berg of Malacha Shabbos that Rashi can't mean Tosefa Shabbos, because Tosefa Shabbos has the same din as Shabbos. And it's not just a din of Kavar. All of these Isuri Malacha, like we said before, we're not talking about Isuri Skil over here. We're not talking about Yisurim Daraisa. We're talking about things that are just not a proper kavod. So the Briska Rav says, no, what it probably means is that doing malacha before Havdalah, that Shabbos is already over, but you didn't say Havdalah yet. So that's where it's not proper that to show proper kavod to Shabbos, a person shouldn't do malacha prior to prior to Havdalah. So that's as far as that. Then we said, and not only Matzai Shabbos, also Matzai Yom Tov, and not only Matzai Yom Tov, also Matzai Yom Kippurim. Of course, Matzai Yom Kippurim, that's a Matzai Yom Tov. So the Iyun Yaakov points out that since there are people that are medaktik, the Rama writes in two places, in two consecutive halachas in Shulchan Aruch, the Rama writes that the proper thing to do on Matzai Yom Kippurim is to build your sukkah right away on Matzai Yom Kippurim. So the Iyun Yaakov says that since people start building their sukkah on Matzai Yom Kippurim, one might have thought that almost malachas could be done on Matzah Yom Kippurim, that it's not at all a problem, because malachas automatically mutter, because you see you're allowed to build your sukkah. So Kamash Malan, that even Matzah Yom Kippurim, where there's an Indian to build your sukkah, one should still be careful. Okay, you don't see a simon bracha. Tan Rabban, Yesh Zariz V'Nizkar, sometimes a person is used to doing malacha, he's a worker, and he's going to get schar for the way he handles Erev Shabbos. V'Yesh Zariz V'Nifsat, sometimes you have a person who's a worker, but he's going to lose out because of the way he handles Erev Shabbos. Yesh Shachal V'Nifsat, because sometimes you have a person who's not dambatel, he doesn't do work, but he's going to benefit from Erev Shabbos. V'yeh shuffle v'nifsa. And sometimes you have a person who doesn't do work, and he's going to lose out from Erev Shabbos. So zariz v'nizkar, let's go through each category. Zariz v'nizkar is da'avid kuli shabbata v'lov b'malei shabbata. Is a person who works very hard all week, but on Erev Shabbos, min ha'mincha l'mayla, he stops working. So that's a zariz v'nizkar. Zariz v'nifsa is da'avid kuli shabbata v'lov b'malei shabbata. A person who works all week and continues to work min ha'mincha l'mayla. On Erev Shabbos is going to lose out. Shuffle v'niskar d'lov v'kuli Shabbata v'lov v'mali Shabbata. The person doesn't work all week and also doesn't work min ha'mincha l'mayla. And that's the chiddush, that he's not even doing it l'shem mitzvah. He never works. He never has any work to do. So he's always a shuffle. Still, he's going to get schar for not working min ha'mincha l'mayla on Erev Shabbos. Shuffle v'nifsad d'lov v'kuli Shabbata v'lov v'mali Shabbata. The worst is a person who doesn't work all week and he picks pump that time on Erev Shabbos min ha'mincha l'mayla. That's what he's going to go go do his work. So Amar Rava, Hani Nashi de Mechuzah, the women of Mechuzah, who were not Balos Malacha, they were Mefunakim, they didn't enjoy doing work. Avgav, the Haidu Lav Navid, the Mali Shabbat, Mishuma Fen Kusahu, even though the reason they didn't do work on Erev Shabbos is because they never did work, they were Mefunakim. They're still considered a shuffle v'niskar because you don't have to do it l'shem shemayim. You don't have to refrain from work l'shem shemayim. Just refraining from work itself is something that one is niskar from. Rava Rami, Rava asks astirim psukim ksiv. On the one hand, the pasukim tells us ki gadol ad shemayim chastecha, that the schar for doing mitzvos is ad shemayim. Uksiv, and the pasuk also says ki gadol me'al shemayim chastecha, the schar for doing mitzvos is beyond the shemayim. Haketzad, which is it? Is it ad shemayim or beyond shemayim? Kan ba'osin l'shma, kan ba'osin shalol l'shma, that there's great schar for both. There's great schar for doing l'shma and a little less schar, but still very great schar for doing shalol l'shma. Uketav Yudah, Dam Rav Yudah Merav, only ask the Torah mitzvah of shalol l'shma, shemitok shalol l'shma, ba l'shma, that a person should engage in mitzvah shalol l'shma, because ultimately it's going to lead to l'shma. I, Rav, is the one that taught us in Brachas Daf Yud Zayin that someone who's osik shalol l'shma, it's noach lo shalom nivra. So Rashi writes over there that there are two types of shalol l'shma. Tosfos quotes this: there's shalol l'shma where a person does it lekanter, he does it to be antagonistic, and there's shalol l'shma where he's just doing it for kavod. So for kavod is the good kind of shalol l'shma, but if he's doing it to antagonize, then it's a bad kind of shalol l'shma. Tan Rabbanan, hametzap l'schar ishto, if a person relies on his wife to make money and rechaim, or a person v'rechaim, a person looks to make money from a mill, einor asim bracha liyalim, he's not going to see a sim bracha. Schar ishto matkolta, the schar ishto means that his wife goes renting out scales in the marketplace. It's such a, she's going to make pennies. So to be Mevazeh's wife that she has to schlep around for such pennies, that's not worth it. Rechaya agarta, and for Rechayim also, it's you're not going to see a sim bracha because it's very minimal. It's a lot of tircha for very little profit. Aval avdo umezabna, but if a woman starts a business and she sells things, shabusha mishab bakra, that's wonderful. Dechsiv, sadin nasa v'timkar. By the way, what's the end of that pasuk? V'chagor nasna la'kanani. That connects what we said before. What does the word kanani mean? Kanani means the socher. That's what it means in that pasuk. It's pasuk pshat in the pasuk. Tan Rabbanan, mistaker b'kanim. If a person gets benefit, he profits from selling reeds b'kankanim, or from jugs rather, b'kankanim, or a large klei cheres ein rosim brach liyom, because he has these large kalim that are so obvious and so evident to everybody. My time, I want to see a sim brach from that. Given the nafesh of chazayu shalt be'eno, because it's going to be subject to ayin hara. Everyone's able to see all of your success. Tan Rabbanan, tagari simta. So the sochrim that sit in the marketplace, Megadli Bei Medaka, and people who raise small animals, Vekotze Ilamas Tovos, and people who cut down good trees to sell for the wood, Notzne Neim B'chelik Yafa, and people, whenever they have to split something, they always look to get the best piece beyond what everybody else has. Ein Ro Sim Brach Leom, they're not going to see Sim Bracha. My time at the Tov be in you, because it doesn't make you popular to have such an attitude toward things. Tan Rabban, Arba Prutos Ein Ben Simen Bracha Li Olam. There are four Prutos that do not have a Simen Bracha. Schar Kos, the people who get paid to write Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzas, Schamer Tugumanin, the people who get paid for being the Meturgaman in Shul, Uschar Yisomim, the people who take the money of Yisomim in order to invest it, Umos Habos from Medina Siyam, and whatever profits come from importing from Medina Siyam, that's not going to be a Simon Brach in the end of the day. So Bishlam Schamer Tugumanin Mishum Demechzik Schar Shabbos. I get why the Meturgaman, he's working on Shabbos, so that's not going to be a Simon Brach. Umos Yisom Nami, and the Mos Yisom also, that sometimes you might take more than you're entitled to for your fee for investing for the Yisom, and the Yisom cannot be mochel because they're katanim. And I also get why when the money comes from Medina Siyam, you can't always rely on an ace that there's not going to be trouble in transporting across the ocean. El schar kos in my time of why when people write Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzas, is there no schar for what they do? Is their profession going to be cursed that they're not going to make a lot of money? So Rabbi Shimon Levi Esrim Arba Tainios Yoshua Anshe Knesset Gedola Al Kosis Farm Tefillin Mezuzos Shleis Ashrin Shel Masalim Es Ashrin Ein Kosrin, because Anshe Knesset Gedola took 24 fasts for the Kosis Farm Tefillin Mezuzos that they should not become wealthy, because if they become wealthy they wouldn't need to write so much more, and we want to have Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzos readily available to us, so they have to work very hard to constantly produce more just to make ends meet, and that's ultimately the Tovas Klal Yisrael. Okay, but Hashem will pick up with Tanur Rabbanan tomorrow.